If you will, turn in your Bibles to Judges chapter 13. Judges 13. We're going to read about Samson. Samson is a judge, and a judge is a military leader, not one that sits in a court of law, but a military leader. Israel would do evil, then they'd be overtaken by a living country. They would repent, and God would send a judge and deliver the people. Then they would do evil all again. There's a verse in the book of Judges, every man did what was right in his own sight. During Samson's time, it's the longest period of oppression we have listed for us. They were oppressed by the Philistines for 40 years. But there was no crying out for deliverance. They had adjusted and adapted and were more than happy to have the Philistines ruling over them. And we'll read about that later on with Samson. But Samson was always a thorn in the side of the Philistines. He would frustrate and harass them. He single-handedly would kill thousands, if not more. And he would keep them from building an invading army. Samson is very complex, a very complicated man. But he's listed in Hebrews chapter 11, that great hall of fame, we call it, with other judges, Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah. So tonight we want to study about Samson. He, like I said, he's a complicated puzzle. He's empowered by the Spirit. When the Spirit comes on him, it's powerful. But he yields to the flesh. He gives into the flesh. He's strong before men. He's a mighty warrior. But he's weak with women. And women are his downfall. He could defeat men. He could defeat armies. But he could not conquer his own life. He fought the Lord's battles. But he disobeyed the Lord's commandments. He was a great warrior. And he died a blind slave. He was a great man of faith. But he was not faithful to his parents, to his vows. In James 1 and verse 8, we won't read it, it talks about a double-minded man. He's unstable in all his ways. This is talking about Samson as a double-minded man. He's inconsistent through his life. He'd win a battle, then he'd slip back into sin. And Samson has anger issues, and we'll read about those where he gets angry. Alright, in chapter 13, we're going to read a few verses. From there, I'm not going to go verse by verse in chapter 13 because we don't have time. I'm going to skip over some of it, but then the rest of the thing will be a verse by verse study. Judges 13 verse 1. And then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. Now there was a certain man from Zorah, the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said, indeed now you are barren and have not borne children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. God intervenes. He sends an angel of the Lord. If you want to do an interesting study, and I'll be more than happy to talk to you later on after you study about the angel of the Lord. Study that. The American Standard calls it the angel of Jehovah. When it says the, that means there's just one angel of God, one angel of Jehovah. So, he said, you'll have a son. I'm mindful of Isaac, Samuel, John the Baptist, Jesus. They were all said that they would have a son and that would be them. So, we have a clear picture of someone that's being set apart and dedicated, and that is Samson. So, verse 3, the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said, you're now barren. In verse 4, now therefore, please be careful. Okay, now she's giving some instruction. Do not drink wine or similar drink. And do not eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. Okay, he's given the Nazarite vow. He tells his parents, this boy that you're going to have is going to be a Nazarite. And say, well, what is a Nazarite? We won't look at this, but write it down. Numbers chapter 6, verses 1 through 21, talks about the Nazarite vow and what it meant. First off, you abstain from any grape products, raisins, grape juice, anything, wine, none of that at all. You had no contact with any dead body. You did not cut your hair. That was a visible sign of who you were. When you saw a man that had hair down to his knees, there's a good chance he was taking the Nazarite vow. And then it says that he would be from the womb, he would be a Nazarite. And then in verse 7, and he shall conceive, and behold, he shall conceive and bear a son, and no wine or drink or any similar drink, nor eat anything unclean, for he shall be a Nazarite from God from the womb to the day of his death. From the womb to the tomb, he was a Nazarene. All right, we're going to skip the rest of it. It talks about in this thing about between the angel of the Lord and Manoah and his wife. And I encourage you to read that. But in verse 24 of chapter 13, so the woman bore a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. Verse 25, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Manoah Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. He lives on the near the border of Israel and Philistia. So Samson is born, and the Spirit of the Lord begins to move on him. Now we're going to go for a verse-by-verse study. So I encourage you to get your Bibles and study along with us. Judges chapter 14. Now Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughter of the Philistines. He went up and told his father and mother, I have seen a woman. This is Samson's downfall. I'm telling you, it's women. In Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me as a wife. This was normal. Whenever you wanted to marry something, your parents would arrange the wedding with your bride's parents. So he says, I want this woman, get her for me. Then his father and mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren and all among all your people that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? I mean, can you not see the bitterness in their voice? You're getting a dog of a woman, uncircumcised Philistine. You don't want a woman like that. And Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. Pleases him. He's looking after her. He's not in love. He's in lust. Verse 4. But his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord. This is the Lord's plan that he had married this Philistine woman. The Lord was seeking occasion to move against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. This is in God's plan. Nobody knows it but God. His parents don't know it. They're trying to talk Samson out of it. All right, let's read verse 5. So Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came to the vineyards of Timnah. Now to his surprise, a young lion came roaring out against him. Okay, now what's a Nazarite doing in a vineyard, a vine with grapes? I often wonder that. But here comes a young lion. Verse 6. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. And he tore the lion apart as one who would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. But he did tell his father. He did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman. She pleased Samson well. Verse 8. After some time, when he returned to get her, he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the carcass of the lion. And he took some of it in his hand, and he went along eating. And when he came to his father and mother, he gave them some, and they also ate. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. And what was one of the requirements for being a Nazarite? Don't touch any dead body. What does Samson do? He reaches in the body of a dead lion to get honey. He plays by his own rules. Even though God said do this, he does what he wants. And he wants to touch his dead body so he can have the honey. Verse 10. So his father went down to the woman, and Samson gave a feast there for the young men that used to do so. And that word feast means a drinking party. Samson and his buddies are drinking. And it happened, verse 11, that when they saw him, they brought 30 companions to be with him. Samson didn't have any. He was having a bachelor's party, and he didn't have any friends. And so the Philistines said, look, we'll bring 30 of our own friends, and we'll have a party for a week. Verse 12, then Samson said to them, let me pose a riddle to you. This was common among parties back then in feasts, that they would have riddles to entertain. Let me pose a riddle to you. If you can correctly solve and explain it to me within the 7 days of the feast, then I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothes. Now that's expensive. Clothing was expensive back then. Verse 13, but if you cannot explain it to me, then you shall give me 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing. And they said to him, pose your riddle that we may hear. So he says to them, out of the ear comes something to eat, out of the strong comes something to flee. Now, after 3 days, they could not explain the riddle. And so Samson's having this party. He tells a riddle they're not going to get. He knows he's safe because of the riddle. But verse 15, but it came to pass the seventh day that they said to Samson's wife, entice your husband that he may explain the riddle to us, or else we will burn you and your father's house with fire. Have you invited us in order to take what is ours? Is that not so? What are you doing, woman? You're bringing this man in here. He's telling us stories that we can, riddles we can't figure out. And now we want you to bug your husband, nag your husband if you have to, entice him, do whatever it needs to take to tell us the answer of the riddle. Verse 15. I had the lights on so I can see, and I'm still not seeing. I'm sorry. Verse 15. Entice your husband. All right, then verse 16. Then Samson's wife wept on him and said, you only hate me. You do not love me. If you pose a riddle to the sons of my people, you have not explained it to me. And he says to her, Samson says to her, look, I have not explained it to my father or my mother, so should I explain it to you. But now she wept on him the 7 days while their feast lasted. And it happened on the seventh day that he told her, because she pressed him so, she nagged him so. Then she explained the riddle to the sons of her people. Samson gave in to the woman. Verse 18, so the men of the city came to him on the seventh day before the sun went down. What is sweeter than honey? And what is stronger than a lion? Is him. Notice what Samson said. This same word phrase, this same verse is translated the same way in all the versions I looked at. If you would not have plowed with my heifer. What's he calling his wife? A cow. If you had not plowed with my cow, you would have never known this. You would not have solved my riddle. Then verse 19. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. Notice that mightily. And he went down to Ashkelon, which is about 15 miles from where he's at. It's a Philistine city. And he killed 30 of their men, took their apparel, and gave the changes of clothes to those who he explained the riddle. So his anger was aroused, and he went back up to his father's house. And Samson's wife was given to his companion as his best man. He solved the riddle. In anger, he goes down to Ashkelon and kills 30 men. And he has to take the clothes off the men, I guess is how I read it, to give them away back to the ones that won it. He said, even though you cheated on me, I'm going to take it from your own people. I'm not giving you my clothes. I'm giving you your own clothes. And so they give his wife to his best man. Chapter 15. After a while, in the time of the wheat harvest, it happened that Samson visited his wife with a young goat. And he said, let me go into my wife, into her room. But her father would not permit him to go in. Here's the reason, verse 2. Kind of hurtful. His father said, I really thought that you thoroughly hated her. Therefore, I gave her to your best man or your companion. Now, listen to what he says to Samson. Is not her younger sister better than she? In other words, is not her younger sister prettier than the one that you want? Please take her instead. You're getting the pig of the crop, the queen of the crop, her daughter, her sister is better than she is, Samson. Verse 3. And Samson said to them, this time I shall be blameless regarding the Philistines if I harm them. Okay, I've had it. This is what I'm going to do. You gave my wife away, now I'm mad. So verse 4, so Samson went and caught 300 foxes, and he took torches, turned the foxes' tails to tail, and put a torch between each of them. And he's going over the whole countryside with these foxes. Verse 5, and when he set the torches on fire, he let the foxes go into the standing grain of the Philistines. Remember in verse 1, it was time of wheat harvest. So He goes into the standing grain of Philistines and burned both of the shocks, that which they had already harvested, and the standing grain. Burned all these fields up. But you know, you can always replant the next year. But look what else he killed. Burned up. As well as their vineyards and their olive groves. You know, if your vineyard burns down, it takes 5 or 6 years. Jerry's been out there west. He could probably tell you how long it takes to replant and to get grapes. And the olive garden, the olive trees, well, he burned those, the olive groves. How long does it take for a tree to grow where it starts producing? Samson really put a hurt into these people, these farmers and these herdsmen. And he said, listen, it's your fault. Verse 6, been afflicted and said, who has done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he has taken his wife and given her to his companion. He's mad because B gave his wife away. So the Philistines came up and burned her and her father with fire. That's Samson's wife. Verse 7, so Samson said, since you have done this thing, I am surely going to take revenge on you. After this, I will cease. I'm going to do one more thing, and that's it. Verse 8, so he attacked them hip and thigh with a great slaughter. Then he went down and dwelt in the cleft of the rock of Edom. Hip and thigh means severe slaughter. My Bible says a great slaughter. We don't know how many men that he killed, but it was a great slaughter. A lot of men. He destroyed them. So he goes up to Edom. It's in Israel. Now verse 9. This is how pitiful it is for the Israelites. Now the Philistines went up and encamped in Judah and deployed themselves against Lehi. In other words, they're coming in to invade. They're going to get Samson. And when the men of Judah said, why have you come up against us? So they answered, we have come to arrest Samson and do to him as he's done to us. What are you doing here? We come to get Samson because he's what he did to us. Then, verse 11, then 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cleft of the rock and said to Samson, 3,000 men. Wasn't that made a kind of a nice army that Samson could have led? No, they don't want to upset what's going on. We're happy to have the Philistines ruling over us, Samson. You really have caused a lot of problems. Then the 3,000 men, as I mentioned, went down to the cleft of the rock and said to Samson, do you not know that the Philistines rule over us? What is this to you that you've done to us? And he said, I just did to them what they've done to me. Verse 12, then the men of Judah said to him, now there's 3,000 of them, we have come down to a rescue that we may deliver you into the hand of the Philistine. Then Samson said, swear to me that you will not kill me yourself. He said, we won't. He said, we will not, but we will tie you securely and deliver you into their hands, but we will surely not kill you. And they bound him with two new ropes and brought him from the rock. So they're going to take Samson to the Philistine, hoping that everything will be okay. Here's the troublemaker. You take care of him. Verse 14, and when he, Samson, came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting against him. Here they come. Samson's tied up, and they are looking for to get their man. And then verse 14, then the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Notice that every time the Spirit of the Lord comes on, it's mightily. And the ropes that were on his arms became like flax, and it's burned with fire, and his bonds broke loose from his hands. Popped them right off. 15, he found a fresh jawbone of a donkey. A dead donkey. He's touching a dead animal. It's a jawbone of a donkey, but it's still a dead animal. He reached out his hand and took it and killed 1,000 men with it. Then Samson said, with the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of a donkey, I've slain 1,000 men. Verse 17, so it was when he finished that he threw the jawbone from his hand and called the place Ramoth Lehi, which means jawbone height. Verse 18, then he was very thirsty, and he cried out to the Lord, you have given me this great deliverance by the hand of your servant, and now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hands of the Philistines? No, he didn't say that, does he? He said, fall into the hands of the uncircumcised. He's really slurring the Philistine when he says that. Verse 19, so God split the hollow place in Lehi, and water came out, and he drank, and his spirit returned, and he revived. Therefore he called the name En-Hakkore, which means spring of the collar. And Samson, verse 20, judged Israel 20 years in the days of the Philistines. Remember, the Philistines stayed over for 40 years, and Samson was involved in it for 20. Now, verse 16, chapter 16, I'm sorry. Now, Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there. That's a prostitute. And went into her. See, Samson's got a problem with women, doesn't he? He does not play by the rules that God established. And when the Gazites were told, Samson has come here, they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city. They were quiet all night, saying, in the morning, when it is daylight, we will kill him. Verse 3, Samson lay low till midnight, and then he arose at midnight, took hold of the doors of the gate of the city and the two gateposts, pulled them up, bar and all, and put them on his shoulder.
And he carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. So he tears the city up. He tears up the gates. Doors, posts, all puts them on his shoulder. Just want to stop. Picture that you see of Samson. He looks like he's a weightlifter. You know what I mean? Very muscular. I don't think Samson looked that muscular. Then he would have thought he was doing it with his own power. I think Samson looked like the rest of us. I don't think he was over muscle bound. Now that's my opinion. I think he just looked like a normal person with long hair. So he tears it. All right, now we get into the most pitiful part of Samson's life. Verse 4. Afterward, after he'd torn everything up, that he loved a woman. Women problem. In the valley of Sorek, and that's the river, Sorek River. And her name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said, entice him. He loves you. He's just crazy about you. You should be able to entice him and find out, verse 5, what his great strength lies and by what means may we overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. 1,100 pieces of silver, as I figured up, is worth about $60,000 in today's money. And we don't know how many men there are, but each one's going to give her 1,100 pieces of silver for trading in Samson. Verse 7, and verse 6, Delilah said to Samson, please tell me where your great strength lies and with what we may abound to afflict you. She's not beating around the bush, is she? What is the source of your strength so we can take over you? That's what I mean by afflict. You think Samson would say, something's not right here? And that's so. Samson gives in. He gives in to the temptation. Verse 7, he says, if you bind me with 7 bowstrings not yet dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. He's starting on that path. He's getting a little closer to the edge. He says, tie me up with fresh bowstrings. Verse 9, now men were lying in wait and staying in her room. And she said to him, Samson, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he broke the bowstrings as a strand of yarn breaks when it touches fire. And the secret of his strength was not known. Well, okay. Kind of made it there, Samson. Kind of let him know that you have a weakness. There is a way to stop this, but you haven't told him. You told him, you know, bowstrings, that wasn't it. So let's take another little step. Verse 10. Then Delilah said to Samson, you have mocked me and told me lies. Now please tell me what you may be bound with. What's the secret of your strength? And he said to her, verse 11, if they bind me securely with new robes that have never been used, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. Takes another step towards the edge. This time it's robes. Verse 12, therefore Delilah took some new robes and bound him with them and said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And the men were lying in wait, staying in the room, but he broke them off, his arms like thread. Well now, Samson, when she asks you what can break your power and you tell her and she does it, can you not catch on that she's not for you? Verse 13, Delilah said to Samson, until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me what you may be bound with. And he said to her, now watch it. If you weave the 7 locks of my head into the web of a loom, this hair, 7 locks of hair. He's getting right up to the edge. He's talking about his hair now. That's where his strength lies. And he's telling her, if you weave it in a womb, I'll be weakless. I'll be weak. Samson takes another step towards the edge. Verse 14, she wove it tightly with the baton of the loom and said to him, the Philistines are upon you. But he awoke from his sleep and pulled out the baton and the web from the loom. I mean, really, Samson, aren't you catching on what she's doing to you? He thinks, oh, I can handle her. No problem. I'll just have a little fun with her. Verse 15, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these 3 times and have not told me where your great strength lies. And it came to pass, verse 16, when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death, vexed to the point of giving up. She had nagged him continuously. Verse 17, Samson goes all the way to the edge now. He's standing over there. And does he think something's ever going to happen with Delilah? Verse 17, and he told her all his heart and said, no razor has come upon my head, for I've been a Nazarite to God since my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me and I shall become weak and be like any other man. Samson, you got over to the edge and you fell off. You told her your strength, the source of your strength. And you knew better. That's how he's weak with women. Verse 18, then when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent him and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up once more, for he has told me all his heart. Somehow she knows that Samson's telling her the truth this time. She calls him back, saying, he told me. So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hands. They brought the silver to her. Verse 19, how she lulls him to sleep, I don't know, but she gets him to sleep on her knee. And apparently, maybe he'd been drinking and he's kind of a little high from his drink and kind of sleepy. But she calls for a man in verse 19 and have him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him. Wake him up. Samson, Samson, what's wrong, Samson? Wake up. So Delilah, verse 18, saw that he had told her all his heart to come up at once. In verse 19, lowered on his knees and called for a man to shave his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. I mean, a familiar phrase. Samson, the Philistines are upon you. So he woke from his sleep, maybe a little draggy, and he said, I will go out before at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Surprise, Samson, you're captured. You have no strength. Here's a person that the Philistines hated because of all that he did. Verse 21, the Philistines took and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. And they bound him with bronze fetters and he became a grinder in the prison. Verse 22, we don't know how long he's a prisoner, but it took long enough for his hair to grow out to a decent length. And the hair of his head began to grow, and again, after it had been shaven. So he's blind, he's pushing the mill, he's grinding grain. So now, the Philistines feel pretty good about their man that had been tormenting them, is no longer there. So what do? We're going to have a party about Samson. Verse 23, now the lords of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and rejoice. And they said, our god, talking about Dagon, has delivered into our hands Samson, our enemy. And when the people saw him, they praised their god, Dagon, and said, our god has delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our land. That's about what he did. And the one who multiplied our dead. He killed many of them. And they're thanking their god, we've caught him. You've caught him. Verse 25, of course, they're having a good old time. So it happened when their hearts were merry that they said, call for Samson that he might perform for us. So they called for Samson from the prison and he performed for them and they stationed him between two pillars. I don't know what he did to perform. Some think that maybe they tormented him, like walked up and slapped him because he can't see what's coming. And they thought that was funny. Or maybe someone would stick out their foot and he'd fall over. I don't know what it meant by entertain, but he didn't do any strength. I know that. Verse 26, Samson said to the lad who was with him, let me feel the pillars which support the temple so that I can lean on them. Verse 27, now the temple was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. About 3,000 men were on the, and women were on the roof. I'm not talking about who's inside. 3,000 are on the roof watching while Samson performed. Then we have our first recorded prayer. Now, he may have prayed other times, but this is the only time we have one. Verse 28, then Samson called to the Lord, saying, O Lord God, remember me, I pray, just this once. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once. O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. Verse 29, and Samson took hold of the two middle pillars that supported the temple, and he braced himself then, one on his right and one on his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistine. And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the lords and all the people that were in it, so that the dead that he killed at his death were more than he'd killed all in his life. Kind of sad ending, isn't it, for a man of faith in Hebrews 11? Verse 31, and his brothers and all his father's household came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol
in the tomb of his father Manoah, and he had judged for 20 years. Samson, a great man, but with many flaws. And we need to look at ourselves. You know, we're Christians. Do we have a flaw? Could we be weak in an area like Samson was? Yes. It may not be women, but it may be something else. So we need to learn from Samson that even though you were chosen of God, you still are being tormented and tempted by the devil, as he was. This lesson hasn't been given to encourage you to get your life right with the Lord. If you're not a Christian, we ask you to come forward and repent and confess, baptize them. I believe we're all. But maybe there's something in your life that you want the brethren to pray for you and with you. If there's any way we can help you, come while we stand and while we sing.